Hello and welcome back to the CTV show. We are back after a little holiday break. Happy New Year, everyone. I'm Thomas Bargnick, joined by Christian Catanacci, as always. Cat, what's going on, man?
I'm doing great, Pac. It's been a while. I think it's been, what, three-ish weeks?
Yeah, I think it was 3 weeks. We were supposed to do one. Then I got sick. Then you went away. We were supposed to do one while you were away. We got too busy. Now we're back. NFL playoffs are here, which is going to be crazy. The matchups look amazing. We're going to break them all down today. We're going to get into some other stuff. Today was also Black Monday. A couple coaches got let go. Not as many in recent years. But yeah, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, it's 2024. We're looking to hit this year right on the head. We're off to a good start. I just came back from Florida. Enjoyed a nice two-week break on the beach. You know, getting away from this super depressing Toronto weather. It's for some reason, I don't know why, but we just don't seem to see sunlight here too often.
We don't get snow either.
Yeah, like, we don't like get snow one. Either. It's just like, it's honestly, I'd rather have snow than just gray and muggy outside all the time. Like, terrible. At least snow, you know, it reflects off the moon. It feels a little bit more brighter out there. But yeah, I instantly feel my headache come back as soon as I landed. Yesterday we got back Saturday morning about 4 o'clock in the morning. So yesterday was a complete write off, but, I'm back into the swing of things. Got a lot to do this week, and there's no other way to start the week than jump on this show with you.
Oh yeah. Let's just get right into some of the news that came down today. Well, last night and into today, we had Arthur Smith. The Falcons wasted no time parting ways with him. That was a bit of a weird one just because it felt like if they had won yesterday, he somehow would have kept his job, but then they so quickly rushed to let him go after they were blown out by the Saints. And I really don't think one game should have decided his fate. I feel like it was best to move on from him regardless. They've just been so mediocre and so frustrating in recent years. And then we had Ron Rivera this morning, just one that felt long overdue, and it's a blank slate in Washington. You got a new owner. They're bringing in some Golden State Warriors executive, Bob Myers.
Yeah, I saw that too.
A little bit of, you know, untraditional way to build a football team. But, hey, he knows a little bit about winning. Maybe he can find the next head coach, the next anyone to help turn around that franchise, because they are just, they've been a disaster since winning the division in 2020. So that's Black Monday for you. What are some takeaways from you?
I mean, I thought it was funny that how Arthur Smith had that whole fiasco about snapping on Dennis Allen and the whole Jameis Winston situation and all the drama that's going on out about that fake kneel or whatever you want to call it, just straight handoff running up the score. I mean, look, I don't know. For me, it's like we're not playing youth sports here, so like there's no such thing as running up the score. Like, I'm trying to score 70 points. If I wouldn't stop. I think that's only an issue when you're trying to teach like kids a lesson, like they're grown adults.
But I will say this though, there's a risk injury.
Absolutely.
There's a risk of injury, especially when everyone thinks you're taking a kneel and then bang, we're handing the ball off. Now it's like on kneel play, should the defense be coming over to crunch the quarterback just in case, like going forward? That's something to think about. Also, it's just like that's a division rival. I don't know, it brings me back to when I was at the Dolphins game in week 3, and they could have set the record for most points in a game, and they just decided to kneel the ball out, because at the end of the day, like, congratulations, New Orleans. You scored another 7 points on your division rival. I bet it comes to bite you in the ass one year.
Karma's a real thing. 100%.
It's all about karma.
100%.
And another thing is, I was seeing on Twitter, like, Saints fans calling for Dennis Allen's job because of this. Not because of that, but because it's one. The players just clearly went against their coach's instructions. Like, it's just no respect right there. Zero respect for the head coach that made the call to kneel the ball. Jameis was like, nah, team decision. We're handing this ball off. All the players are supporting Jameis too after. So, like, I don't know if you want to read too deep into this, but does he have the locker room? Does he not? And then other people I was seeing on Twitter were being like, he shouldn't have to apologize for this. That's embarrassing that he had to apologize for scoring touchdowns, similar to the argument you just made. It is professional sports. You are trying to score touchdowns. You should never have to apologize for beating a team.
Yeah.
So just a really weird way to end a tenure for Arthur Smith. And
it was, I mean, look, both of these, the common denominator in both of these is like, they were just way overdue. Like Arthur Smith probably should have been fired last year, and Ron Rivera maybe should have been fired 2 years ago, even 3 years ago, even though he's been around for only 4 years in Washington. But like, I wasn't shocked by any means. Like, I sort of thought these were both shoe-ins. I mean, we had it prepared. Like, we sort of knew that these two were guaranteed. But there's one that's sort of has people on the edge of their seats a little bit. And I know we both share somewhat of a similar situation. A similar opinion on this. And that's Bill Belichick and his, I guess, the speculation that's surrounding his future in New England. And this is someone that's, I mean, you ask whoever, you ask for your top 5 to 3 head coaches of all time, and you most likely have Bill Belichick in that list, if not one or two, right? But this year didn't go as to plan, and I mean, he's not getting any younger. Are we talking here more like a situation? I know a lot of people are saying, like, Dan Orsini came out today and said the Falcons would be interested in him. I know the Chargers previously said, oh yeah, we'd be interested in him too. I'm it's just really weird to me because it's like he's 70-something, 73. He's not young. Like, why go after a coach like Belichick if you're a rebuilding team? And if you're Belichick anyways, like, why would you even want to waste your time with a rebuilding team? Like, what's the point? So are we talking about a situation where Belichick's going to be coaching elsewhere? Or are we maybe not looking at it in the bigger picture and say, like, oh, Belichick's going to – might just retire, right? If he's got a coach somewhere other than New England.
Like you said, he's 71 years old. Based on the way the year went in New England, I just figured, like, you know what? You had your run. You're an all-time great. You can argue that he's the greatest coach ever. He's definitely top five. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. What a run. What a career. And it just felt like, okay, this is the end. Like, all good things have to come to an end. Your tenure in New England was legendary. You can argue it's the greatest dynasty sports have ever seen. And that's it. Team's not good anymore. It's mostly your fault why the team's not good anymore. You drafted a quarterback. You couldn't develop him. You couldn't surround him with any sort of semblance of good weapons. And you're, like I said, 71 years old. To me, it was just like, okay, I watched the last couple of minutes yesterday of the Patriots game. I was like, well, this is it. You know, they showed him on red zone running off the field for the last time. Belichick, everyone clapped their hands for him. Great run, all that. To read that, like, teams are pursuing him, and these aren't teams that are in a win-now window. No. Even the Chargers. I know the Chargers have a good quarterback, but that roster is a disaster. And it's just like, what is the lure for both sides? Why would Belichick want to go to you? Is it just that he just doesn't want to give up the game? And why would you want Bill Belichick? Because, like I said, I'm not questioning his resume, but it's just at the point where it's like, it's time to move on. Like, the game has gone in a direction that kind of veers away from what he preaches. And I don't know. It's a very, very weird situation. The fact that some of these teams have, like, it's based on reports anyways, that they have strong interest in him.
Yeah, I'm going to push back a little bit there. And I'm going to say, like, look, I strongly believe that if Bill Belichick and if his persona and his name was just removed out of the situation, he just looked at his blank slate the last, like, 3 or 4 years, you're not telling me that there's probably 35 better head coaching candidates than Bill Belichick. Like, I get it. He had that great stretch of 20-something years with Tom Brady. But, like, let's just face the facts. Like, without Brady, at least in the last 3-4 years, I mean, I'm not saying this defines who he is, but he's nothing better than just, like, a whatever coach. Like, the last 4 years. So, like, why go out and try and get him if you're the Chargers, the Falcons, or whoever other teams? Like, why not just go and get, like, a guy like Ben Johnson or a younger offensive brain? Like, why are you going against the curve? Clearly, the league is outgrowing Belichick. And, I mean, it's pretty clear that that's the fact in the situation here, because just look at what he's done the last 4 years. It's just the game's moving in a complete opposite direction, and Belichick is... I mean, again, it goes back to what I'm saying. He's 71 years old, had a fantastic career. That there's nothing more than that, right? You don't have to go inside. Like, I think that whoever hires him, like, if the Chargers were to hire him, that is...
Three years like, back in the wrong direction, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That sets your franchise back. I would even say 5 years. I say you'd ruin Justin Herbert. If they brought Bill Belichick into L.A. to coach the Chargers, say goodbye to Justin Herbert. And his career trajectory was once one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and people were... The next bright star, which I think he still has, but there's no way that that would succeed. There is no way you can put it on the pedestal. I'm so confident that whatever team hires Bill Belichick, it's just going to be a complete disaster.
I also think it's weird in an era now where we're seeing all these young players come up, and what they want is, you know, someone who can relate to them, yes. Someone who empathizes with them, and see these players, coaches, guys who are young, and some of them have played in the league not so long ago, like D'Amico Ryans, and some of them have just been around, you know, NFL facilities and organizations for a little while, but are still young, like Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur, and they can relate to their players, they can have a relationship with their players outside of football. There's this element of, like, getting along and that translating over to the football field and trusting one another, and I just feel like Bill Belichick... Just it's his way or the highway, and the younger these players get now, the less and less they respond to that, just the way life's changing in general.
100%,
and
just, 100%.
I don't know, I don't mean this to be like, oh, let's all crap on Belichick for 15 minutes and call it a segment, but it's just, I was just surprised to see all the buzz around his name still, where I think we should just kind of appreciate what he's done for the game, appreciate all his amazing accomplishments, and give him the proper send-off he deserves. But at the end of the day, these teams that are looking to retool their roster and compete 5 years down the line, they just need to go in a different direction that will, I don't know, give the organization a bit more of a boost in the long run.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyways, we'll I say we just get right into
Scratch the Black Monday talk. We're done with that. Yeah, super wild card weekend. I hate that term. I hate how they call it.
I thought it was
super
dumb. I thought it was like a 1 year thing.
You know, but now it's now you see super wild card weekend. Like, what the hell is that?
It's just wild card weekend.
Just call it wild card weekend.
The first year you added these extra playoff teams.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, good marketing. You're trying to tell everyone, oh, there's two extra games. Cool. I hate the Monday night game. It is such a disadvantage. I think we talked about this yesterday.
We talked about it last year too.
So unfair to the team that plays on Monday night, then has to turn around, especially if it's like, If the Eagles win and they're the lowest seed, they're playing a team on a bye on a short week. Like, it's just like...
Well, we put the Cowboys last year, I don't know if you remember, they played the Bucs on Monday night, and they had to travel to San Francisco the next week, and San Francisco played on Saturday. So not only did they lose a day of travel, they also lost a day and a half. So we were almost 2.5 games less of days less of rest than the 49ers. But I completely agree. It's a complete disadvantage. We'll get to that game, but we'll start right from the top. We'll talk Browns and Texans. That's the first game of the slate. That's Saturday at 4:30. I mean, I think, honestly, you can make the argument that obviously the Lions and the Rams have a ton of storylines in that one, but this game is so interesting to me. Yeah. Like, so interesting. You got Joe Flacco, who literally came off the couch.
I feel like last time we did a podcast, Joe Flacco wasn't even a thing.
Probably not.
Started maybe two games.
Two or three games. Yeah. And then you have CJ Stroud, rookie sensation, rookie phenom, just absolutely changing a franchise that, like, had the second overall pick last year, right? They were 2 minutes away from getting the first overall pick last year. And turn around, they won the NFC South. They're hosting a playoff game. AFC South. Not AFC South. Yeah,
AFC South.
And, I mean, talk about a storyline-filled game. Browns and Texans, that might be one of the games that I'm looking forward to the most.
I was going to say, it's funny to me that I feel like this time slot, the Saturday 4:30, is often like, they'll try and bury the worst game on this time. Maybe this or even the Sunday 1 o'clock, I think, is a tough one. But this game is like maybe the biggest coin flip out of everything. You got Joe Flacco. Can he keep this up? He's also the oldest quarterback in the entire playoffs. So does that experience help him going up against the youngest quarterback who has never taken a snap in the NFL playoffs, being a rookie? Can he translate his regular season success? here. He's played one game all season long that wasn't a 1 p.m. start, and it was last week, Saturday night, and he won the division that night, and he played a close to perfect game. So the Texans got something working. D'Amico Ryans going up against Kevin Stefanski. These are the two, you know, shortest odds right now for coach of the year. Stefanski was minus 1,000 entering week 18. After D'Amico Ryans and the Texans won Saturday night, it dropped to like minus 180 and they were.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. 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 It shifted.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
So I honestly don't know if anything changed. I mean, the Browns game didn't really matter because they rested everyone, but now it is much closer. And I mean, I'll take a look in a second and get the official odds. But yeah, a lot of intrigue in this one. Like I said, it might be my toughest decision of who to lean. I still am having trouble trusting Joe Flacco and the Browns. They're also on the road. They have so many injuries, but the defense has been phenomenal.
Yes.
But it's like, I could very well see Joe Flacco just going out and getting back to, you know, the New York Jets Joe Flacco. Not the guy who just closes his eyes and throws 300 passing yards that we've seen the last month and a half.
I think, for as crazy as this is, I think there's a scenario where the Browns could go on a little run here. With that being said, I don't think there's a worse first-round matchup than the Texans. Like, this is a team that really has nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And
zero pressure on
like,
them at all.
Literally zero pressure, right? And you have a quarterback, CJ Stroud, who just is playing with, like, so much confidence right now. And it's almost crazy to see a rookie. Like, he is so calm. And I get it, like, he's on a high right now, and again, the NFL, you don't just keep going like this, right? So there's going to be times, maybe next year, sophomore slump, whatever it is. But as of right now, like, there is not even a thought of doubt in that guy's mind. So the fact that you have to go into Houston, controlled environment there, and he could sort of just play his game, I think it's almost doesn't bode too well for the Browns. I mean, I still think the Browns are going to win the game, but I think this one has, like, field goal written all over. Like, it's going to be a three-point game. I don't know who it's going to be. I want to say the Browns because they have the defense to do it. And, I mean, sure, it's Joe Flacco. He's old. And 2 months ago, he was probably sleeping on the couch watching football just like us. But, like, he hasn't given me a reason to doubt him yet. So, it's a very interesting one. Honestly, my gut wants to see the Browns, but my heart just telling me, just go with the Texans, man.
Yeah, I like the idea of like that young, hungry team, nothing to lose. Nobody thought we'd be here. Let's show everyone why we belong. And they just come out firing. And Houston has had it rough. I said this maybe a couple months ago, why I was so happy that CJ Stroud worked out. And I didn't even expect them to be this good this early. Nobody did. But the fact that they've gotten this accelerated rebuild and their window seems like it's already opened, it's just great for an organization that was garbage for a really long time, had a glimmer of hopes, very, very similar to what they have now a couple years ago. And then their GM, Bill O'Brien, just decided to trade everyone. And then Deshaun Watson wanted out. And then the whole legal situation. And they ended up trading him to the Cleveland Browns, who they play against. Would have loved to have Deshaun suiting up. And then I would say Houston, hammer them. I would be all over them. With Flacco, it's a bit more of a gentleman's game for me. So we'll see what happens. I am going to lean slightly in the direction of the Houston Texans, though.
Interesting.
All right, we'll move on to Saturday night. The Chiefs hosting the Miami Dolphins at Arrowhead Stadium. Tyreek's long awaited return. He didn't get earlier in the year because these two teams met in Germany, where the Chiefs won 21-14. The Dolphins have had, time and time again, these moments, prime time, world watching against these big teams to erase the narratives that surround them, and they've come up short time and time again. So do you have any confidence that the Dolphins can win this game on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs?
I don't know if I want to call it confidence. I mean, I'll give them a shot. I think you're coming off a very tough loss. I get it, didn't really have too much, but like, you had the division in the bag and you kind of fumbled it a little bit. So I get the whole emotional side of things, but I mean, I still think the Dolphins are a good team. I am standing on my take that I had just even, I want to say it was probably a month and a half, 2 months ago, where I think this is a young team led by a young head coach that, I mean, it doesn't feel like a young team like Houston or Green Bay, which we'll get in later, but they are young. And I know they have pieces that are a little bit older and they have some, I mean, pretty big names as impending free agents, but their head coach is so young, and Tua is still very young, and he's finally played his full stretch of 18 games the first time in his career, right? Or 17 games the first time in his career. So I think the future is bright for the Dolphins, but I think the moment's going to be too big for them, right? And I think you've seen it time and time again, like you mentioned, big moments on primetime. They seem to always fall short against big teams. I think you're going to see that trend continue. It's a tough task. If this game was in Miami, maybe I pick the Dolphins, but to go into KC cold Saturday night, it's going to be loud in there. I just don't know if the Dolphins have enough, right? And I think the Chiefs sort of have some narrative, inner narrative, or maybe even in the media a little bit too, but they have something to prove, it feels like. And it's just a very tough matchup for the Dolphins.
From the perspective of a Dolphins fan, you watch this team over the course of September to January, and you can't help but feel like your heart isn't ripped out, and that every single year it's the exact same thing. And I found myself sitting there last night when, you know, the offense is struggling. They got one first down the entire second half. And I'm thinking like, well, at least we scored 70 points in September. Like, is that what our season's about? And you know what? Next year, we'll probably run some other mediocre team out of our building in September again, because it feels like that's all they are at this point. They're the week three Super Bowl champions, because when the going gets tough and when they need to rise to the occasion, they can't. And I don't think that's like some harsh conclusion to jump to, because they've shown us that time and time again. Now, I like what you said, because their coach is coached not even 30 games in this league, and the quarterback's 25 years old. He's never even played a playoff game before. So it feels like they're just beginning. But at the same time, because Dolphins fans have grown so accustomed to just this same old letdowns every single year, it feels like the world is caving in. We had a 3-game division lead, fumbled it in our own stadium, where Bills fans took over, by the way. And it's just like, how can anyone feel optimistic right now? That being said, Tyreek Hill's going for 300 yards. The Dolphins are going to win 31-24.
You know what, Pac? I thought that was coming. Like, I was like, there's no way this guy's going to just end on like that. But look, again, Tyreek, if there's a guy that can completely flip this game on the head, it's Tyreek. And I think he's playing for something. The Chiefs offense just hasn't been the same without him. I'm not going to pick the Dolphins, because I think that'd be ill-advised. But I will say this. If there's a year to get him, and by them, I mean the Chiefs, might be this year. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs go on some crazy run. Now, the next game here, we're going to spend probably 2 minutes on it, because there's already a running narrative about me and you and our we hear about it a lot, right? We anything Steelers related, it's like, oh, CTB anti-Steelers. Well, I'll tell you what. I am anti-Steelers, and you guys are going to get smoked. This literally might be 50-0. I can't believe for the third straight year, I got to watch Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, they didn't make it last year.
Did they not? The year before. Yeah. Regardless, they were in the race. I don't even care. It honestly drives me nuts that I got to watch a waste of television, that I have to watch a Steelers team in the playoffs that can't even, they it's like, if they score 15 points, it's like, oh, 14 points, I'm going, like, they go nuts.
If they
like,
win, when they score 15
that's what
points,
I'm, that's
they
what
win.
I'm saying. It's brutal. So even if they win this game 10-7, I'm still going to stay on this show, and I'm going to say, this is a joke. Get these guys out of the playoffs, because I cannot stand watching the Steelers team. It is awful television. I want to apologize to Steelers, but at the same time, I don't want to, because you know what? You keep giving me slack. I'm going to keep giving it back to you. The Steelers, worst team in the playoffs right now by a mile, and it seems like they always just find a way. Like, they needed the Jags to lose to the Titans. They squeeze in. I don't know. I have no idea. It's driving me crazy thinking about it. So I just hope the Bills put them out of their misery. 50-0, but who knows? Knowing the Steelers, this game could be 14-10 and Steelers somehow get through.
I still can't get over that the Bills were 6-6. Now they're the 2 seed in the AFC, and they get to play the Steelers at home for their first playoff game. That stadium is going to be so loud. And you got Mason Rudolph jogging out to lead an offense. Good luck. Everyone says we rip on the Steelers. I honestly think we're just being realist, because if we go back to our first episode before the season started, I actually picked the Steelers to make the playoffs.
I was
on the Kenny Pickett breakout year. I was on the George Pickens breakout year, and then I watched their offense, and I said, no way is this have any of the makings of a playoff team. Their defense is phenomenal. Mike Tomlin, you've done it again. Winning season. Congrats on this streak that everyone loves, and it's mighty impressive. I will say that. I'll also say this in the same breath. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the worst team to make the playoffs since the Pittsburgh Steelers last made the playoffs 2 years ago. Because this team just, I don't know. And at the end of the day, like, it's the Jags' fault. The Jags should be embarrassed as well. They had a 99% chance to make the playoffs at one point when they were sitting at 8-3 and they miss out. And they had their DBs. I don't know if you've seen the picture. They played with a terrible towel after they beat the Steelers. So fair play to Pittsburgh. You did it. You got in. Do I give you any semblance of a chance against the big bad Bills that have won so many games in a row now and are AFC's champions for the 4th year in a row? I don't think so. I will probably still watch this game, but it is the game that I'm least interested in this weekend.
I'm actually going to be watching this game with Steelers friends because we're going up to a cottage this weekend just to... One of my buddies moved back home from BC, so we're like, you know what? For Christmas, we weren't able to make it happen before Christmas, but we're going to be there. So I'm going to be watching it alongside some Steelers buddies. So I honestly can't wait, because they've been running their mouth too much. Just like, it seems to be a running theme with the Steelers fan base and just getting a little bit too confident. So, look, I am going to stand strong on this take. I genuinely think this game is going to be over 2 minutes into the game. Like, the Bills are going to score the first drive right away.
That's what I disagree with you.
It's game over.
The Bills against bad teams are terrible, and it may snow, and once it starts snowing, it's like throwing everything out the window.
You know what it's going to remind me of? Remember, like, a few years ago when the Bills played the Patriots?
Oh, and Mac threw three passes and remember, won?
No, not even that game. That year, the playoff game. That year, the Pats beat them twice.
Yeah, and then the Bills played them.
And the Bills played them at home, and they absolutely killed them. It was like 40-3. That is exactly what's going to happen. You mirror both those games, it's going to happen.
Okay.
We'll go back to this, and I'm telling you right now, it will happen. The Steelers are going to get blown out. They should honestly have just forfeited the game at that point.
I would love to see it. I just don't think it's going to happen. All right, up next, it's your Dallas Cowboys hosting the Green Bay Packers. Probably a lot of memories with the matchups of these two.
Bad memories.
It's not Aaron Rodgers this time, but I mean, Jordan Love looks like he's on course to be the next guy for the Packers with how good he's playing. Last 8 games, 6-2, 18 touchdowns, 1 interception. Are you kidding me, Jordan Love? Are you worried that the Packers may pull off an upset?
I mean, look, I've gotten used to the Cowboys and their postseason narratives and struggles in the past. So no, I wouldn't be shocked or blindsided if the Packers do come into AT&T Stadium and pull off the upset. But I just think it's a little bit too far-fetched. Like, I feel like it's more people just poking fun in the Cowboys, like saying like, oh, they're going to lose again because this is what they do. The Cowboys choke in January and February. And I mean, for the most part, that's true, right? Like, Cowboys have nowhere near the playoff success as a team that's so highly touted. You'd expect them to have more success come this time of the year. I feel like maybe it's a little bit different though this year. Like, just stuff seems to be aligning. I'm not going to say this team's going to go on this crazy run, but the way that they were able to almost sneak into the 2 seed, now they get home field advantage, which we're talking about a team at home that I think they've won 16 straight games at home, which, I mean, that's almost like a blessing and a curse, because it's hard to win 18 straight games in any way, shape, or form. But this is a much different team at home. And again, the Packers, what a season they've had. And the fact that they were able to turn it around and like, we sat on the show before, and we were discussing if Jordan Love is the guy, right? You always stood on Jordan Love. Like, you had, right from the beginning, you were like, this is the franchise. Next 15, 20 years, Green Bay football is going to be led by Jordan Love. And you said that, so I allude you to that. I sort of was a little bit skeptical, at least early on in the year, but, man, he's turned it around. He's playing fantastic football. I just think it just could be a little bit too early. Like, this is someone that, I mean, we're talking, I know he's not a rookie, but he still only has a handful of starts in this league, right? So the fact that he's got to go into a pretty hostile environment in AT&T Stadium against a red-hot team, it seems like the moment might be too big, but he looks darn good, man. And there's just something about this Packers and Cowboys playoff history. I get Aaron Rodgers in here, but to say that it doesn't have me at least worried, I don't know if worried is the right term, but it keeps me on the edge of my seat, right? I'm probably in the minority here to think that I probably would have rather the Rams.
Really, even with all the experience?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think I probably would have rather
you guys
the Rams.
Blew out the Rams.
Yeah, but that's not even, I'm not
that
even thinking about too much.
Rams
it was, team. It was a different Rams team. They didn't have Kieran Williams, but I just, I don't know, something about when there's two franchises that have, like, when history's just been going a specific way with two franchises, it tends to, like, affect games. And I know that even Mike McCarthy came out today, said, like, oh, we don't care that it's the Packers, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not, we're making it what it is in 2023. That's what it is. But that stuff leaks in, right? And it could change the outcome of a game. Now, I want to hear what you have to say about it, because I just wanted a little spiel, and that's, like, a little, that's more the fan in me. I want to hear what a non, just football fan has to say about this game.
I kind of look at the Packers, and this might be a weird comparison because, like you said, Jordan Love's not a rookie. He's really, like, in his fourth year, but this is his first year as a starter. I kind of look at them as, like, the Texans of the NFC, where I don't think that they have a lot to lose because they got a young head coach that has, like, a record-setting win percentage to start a career as a coach, and then you got this quarterback that it's like, oh, wow, look at us. We have a solution for the next 10-plus years, it looks like, at least. And it is a little bit different because they got to pay him right away, whereas the Texans are going to have years of a very, very cheap and affordable deal. But they're one of the youngest teams. I think they are the youngest team in the NFL. They got a ton of young receivers. But I also think that, like, their roster has so much, there's so much room to grow with Green Bay, where I think, like, they need help at receiver. They need to, you know, reconstruct their backfield. I think their defense is going to continue to get better over the next couple of years, where for me, if I'm a Packers fan, I'm like, oh, we're going to continue to be back here. We're going to continue to take advantage of a bit of a lackluster NFC right now, and I think they'll only get better. So they're kind of just going into Dallas where it's like, if we win this game, we're shocking the world, and if we lose, everyone's going to applaud us for the season that we have, and you know, we'll be back here. So it is a bit of a tricky situation like that. I also look at the Cowboys as, like, I don't think they've ever been quite this good and quite this polished. So I do think that they will end up winning this game. But I think, like, you talked about field goal and Browns Texans. I think this one's going to be very close.
Yeah, see, I think, I mean, the spread to me when it came out was, like, super, I don't know, it was weird. Like, I thought it was going to be maybe 4.5, 5 points. But the fact that it's 7.5 feels like a little bit too much. And I mean, I look at the early money, like, it's like 90% on the Packers to at least cover right now. So it's, we clearly share the same opinion that of the public right now, the fact that this is going to be a close game. I'm still going to take the Cowboys just because I think they have too much. You look at the Packers, their secondary is it's okay, and the defensive line is, if the Cowboys offensive line holds up the way that Dak's been playing and the way that CeeDee Lamb's been playing, it's honestly going to be a little bit too much to ask. And can the Packers continue this run and score at ease against this Cowboys offense? Which, I mean, for the most part, you saw at Seattle just a few weeks ago go into Dallas and put up like 38 points. So the defense is susceptible to doing that. Now, can the Green Bay defense do enough? That's where I think it falls off. I think the Cowboys are just going to have too much power on the offensive side of the ball, which leads me to pick the Cowboys in this one.
All right, we'll go into Rams-Lions, which, I mean, I'll put it right there with Dolphins and Chiefs, and there's some bias in that, but game of the week,
yeah,
Rams-Lions. Stafford versus Goff. Stafford returning to Ford Field. both of these teams, this is one of the best trades in NFL history because the Rams right away won a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford, and they're forever winners of the trade for that reason. And Stafford wasn't going to win that Super Bowl in Detroit. But Detroit quickly rebuilt their team through great drafting. They found their guy in Dan Campbell. Jared Goff has just had a resurgence after the Rams kind of gave up on him. And I remember when the Lions traded for him, the first thought for everyone was, when can they get out of his contract and draft the next guy? Well, he has proved everyone that he is the next guy in Detroit. I'm so, so excited for this game, and I think that they got it right by putting it on the marquee slot of Sunday Night Football. I'm very, very back and forth on it as well, because when the Lions are humming, there are few teams that can play as good as them, but the Rams are also red hot right now. What did they win? 7 of the last 8 to close out the season? Like,
this is a team that was picking top 7 or 8 at one point.
Like, And how they've done it. Puka Nacua, Kyron Williams, like these draft champs, Kobe Turner, defensive tackle, tying Aaron Donald's like rookie sack numbers. Like, I am a big, big believer in the Los Angeles Rams. And I think when you have a coach like Sean McVay, it doesn't matter if you don't pick in the first round for years or if you look like you're going to be bad for the next couple because you got a lot of veterans on big money. Like, you are still good and you find ways to keep that winning culture in. I don't know. I'm going to go over to you because I don't know who to pick.
I feel so bad for the Lions, to be honest, because they're such a good team. They're such a fun team. They have the potential to honestly win this whole thing. Like, I would not be shocked if they go on and win. And I think this has been the best Lions team that I could remember. I think this is the best Lions team in 40 years. With that being said, it's... like, this is a team that doesn't have a playoff win since 1991, and everyone thought that this would be the year. And they're just steamrolling teams in the regular season. They have just absolutely oozing with confidence. And who has to come to town? Matthew Stafford, the guy that brought everything to that franchise. They traded him to the Rams so he could go and chase something that they couldn't give to him, and... it's like
now he's in.
He's there. It's it's honestly, I hope I'm wrong, but this just has heartbreak for Lions fans written all over it. And I really, really do hope I'm wrong, because I want to see the Lions be players in this playoffs, and I would love to see a Cowboys Lions rematch, especially with everything that happened in the game 2 weeks ago. I would love for somehow if that were to happen. I'm not going to make a prediction at the moment because we're going to do another segment later on, but it's going to be honestly a back and forth game. And this is absolutely the worst case scenario for the Lions for the first round matchup.
I think you said, you know, as a Cowboys fan, you'd rather want the Rams, but like, it wasn't too big of a deal. I think even though the Packers are a divisional team and divisional games can be funny, if I were a Lions fan, I would so much rather have just veer away from Matthew Stafford. Let someone else knock him out.
Without
let
a doubt.
Let him upset someone else. Without it's just
doubt.
Like...
without a doubt.
It's tough.
Without a doubt. I think, again, great team. And honestly, would suck to see their season end this way. But it's just like, it's one of those... I know it's going to be super public. Like, there's going to be so many people that are going to be on the Rams and pick this popular
probably,
pick.
It will be the most popular upset.
Pick. 100%.
I mean, it's the smallest spread. It may be Eagles-Bucks just because of how bad the Eagles have been and the Bucks are at home.
I think it's 3 points. Yeah, so it's half a point better. But again, it's honestly the game of the week. And I'm so happy that they put this on Sunday night.
All right, one game left, and I already complained about Monday nights with Super Wild Card Weekend when we started the show, and I'm not afraid to say this at all, and I don't even think it's a bad thing. Eagles and Bucks, I'm not gonna watch this game. I don't care about this game at all.
I'm gonna watch it, but like
I'm gonna watch so much football Saturday, Sunday, Monday night's gonna roll around, and I'm gonna. Eagles, Bucks. The Eagles are the last month.
They're
in the Caleb Williams race in the last month. And the Bucks, they won the worst division and maybe we've seen in some time. Neither of these teams are going to win the Super Bowl. It's just like, Eagles and Bucks? It's just like, this is far and away the worst matchup. I don't know what happened to the Philadelphia Eagles. absolute colossal collapse. And you talked about when I went on my rant about the Dolphins. You said, okay, you're obviously from a fan perspective. It's hard not to be down on the team right now. I can't even imagine how Eagles fans are. You thought you were in this, like, dynasty era where you were so close to a Super Bowl a year ago. You start off the season 8-0, 10-1. I think they were like something crazy. Jalen Hurts in his last like 25 starts up until this collapse. Crazy, crazy record. And now you like can't. The only win since December started was against the Giants. That's it. Yeah. And you're 1-1 against the Giants too.
Yep. It's. Well, I mean, it is the biggest collapse in NFL history. It is, because they're the first team in NFL history to start the season 10-2 and fail to reach 12 wins. They're the first team in NFL history. So I'm not putting any take about this. Statistically, it is the biggest collapse in NFL history, at least the second half of the season. Now, do I think they're going to beat the Bucs? Yeah, 100%. I think... this is just a Tampa team that, look, great story. Baker found a home. If there's someone that likes Baker Mayfield more than me, I would love for him to stand up, because I genuinely don't think there is one. Because I have been rooting for Baker ever since his days in Oklahoma. I thought he was such an awesome dude, like sick story. I thought he had all the potential in the world. Obviously, he hasn't had the best start to his career, but it's happy to see him land with the Bucs, and it seems to me that he has a home, right? At least for the next 2-3 years, for the short term, where he can build off of this and this Bucs team, which we both said that they were going to be pretty bad this year. So this is a team that's pretty much flown way above expectations. Like, winning the division, I get it, the division's weak, but even in that weak division, I don't think anybody picked the Bucs to win it, right? Like, it was always the Falcons, the Saints. Some people even said the Panthers were going to win that division. The Bucs were never really a thought. They had the least, I think they had the worst odds to win that division.
The Panthers
I don't know.
Everyone's darling sleeper.
Yeah, oh yeah. The Panthers were a big sleeper.
I was a big Panthers guy going into the year.
But yeah, this is a team that's sort of exceeded expectations. And now I'm talking about it, it almost wants me to sway back to that, because like, there's nothing that's worse than playing a team that has really nothing to lose at home.
Yeah.
Right? Like, to play a team like the Texans at home, to play a team like the Bucs at home, like, that's a little bit tougher. Like, the Packers are in this boat, but they're on the road, right? If that game, not to go back a few games, but like, if that game was in Green Bay, I think I'd have the same opinion too. Like, it's like you're playing a team that has nothing to lose, that has exceeded expectations, and they're at home. Like, that's a lot to overcome. I still think the Eagles win this, but it's going to be a very close game. And I'm going to watch it. I know you won't watch it. Maybe you're lying. You're going
to
watch it.
I just wanted to tell everyone that, like, the Eagles suck right now.
Yeah,
and then
you're right.
The Bucs just had this, like, win and in game against the Panthers, and they couldn't score a touchdown. They won 9-0.
Yeah. What a game. Barn burner.
And it's like, but at the same time, if Baker comes out and he's fearless and he's, you know, ripping the ball downfield, and the Eagles get up to their old garbage of how they've played the last month and a half, we're going to be in for a good game, and the Eagles are going to be sweating.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
all year long, when we had this crazy battle in the NFC East, the fight was who's going to get home field advantage in the playoffs and who's going to beat someone in the NFC South week one, who's going to hammer them in the first week of the playoffs. That's how it felt, because the Cowboys and the Eagles were both playing like top three, top five teams all season long. Last month of the season, when things really start to count and matter, how can you be confident with this Eagles team right now? This is a good place to start, because it's a playoff game, but it's also a very, very winnable matchup where they can get back under their feet, get back to playing their brand of football. That being said, like you said, the Bucs, very, very sneaky underdogs. Baker's had a great season. Mike Evans has had a great season. Rashad White can beat you here and there. Their defense is very underrated in a lot of parts. So maybe it's a better game than I'm giving you credit to. It's just like going in, they both had such ugly week 18s,
yeah,
such an ugly end of the month. And like I said, I hate the Monday night and Super Rock Hard weekend. But we'll end off today's show with some playoff superlatives. We got about 5 or 6 prompts here ahead of super, super wild card weekend. I added a super there.
Double super. Super, super.
Wait, The quarterback with the most to gain this weekend, who is it?
I'm going to go with Dak. I think this is a guy that, I mean, you look at this time last year, people were cutting him up, turned the ball over at a crazy high rate, went into the playoffs, I mean, beat the Bucks, but got hammered to San Francisco, and it was just an ugly year for Dak. And to see him bounce back in the way that he has, and I mean, if it wasn't for a crazy season from the Ravens, you'd probably give the MVP to Dak. And I think he has the most to gain here because this is someone that's been so polarizing. Obviously, he plays for the most polarizing team in sports, so that comes with the job description. But if Dak is able to continue his stretch of play that he's had this season, which is honestly maybe the best quarterback or top two at least in the league so far this year, he could cement himself as one of those quarterbacks that people say, like, okay, look, that is, he could almost, because he's in a tier of like good quarterback right now, so like nobody thinks he's great, and I'm not going to say he's great, but if he goes on a run and is able to bring this Cowboys team to somewhere that where they just haven't been in the 20th century, I think people are going to start to respect Dak a little bit more and put him on that upper tier of quarterbacks. I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes level, but a tier that he is playing himself into. So I think he has the most to gain for this playoffs because if he continues his run, you can't really say anything else other than give him tip his hat.
I got Jordan Love down here for this one. He had a great season. Playoffs are a different beast. But if you go into Dallas and win, if you go into your divisional round and you look like a superstar, like, this guy came out of a draft class with Burrow, Herbert, Tua, and Jalen Hurts, and he was forgotten for all these years with some really, really good players. If he does all this, you couple that with the 32 touchdowns that he threw this year, which ranked second in the NFL, the conversation starts to be like, bring me my money. Like, I am an elite quarterback in this league, and we see it every year. December and January does so much for player narratives because we have such a long offseason. That's all anyone remembers. No one remembers that in week six or whatever, he threw three picks against the Raiders on Monday Night Football. Nobody cares about that anymore. They care about what have you done for me lately? And if he goes and he has a big, big playoff, he is going to vault right up to the elite of the quarterback lists. And that's where everyone wants to be. And I think that's where Jordan Love can get to this playoffs. Who's the quarterback with the most to lose?
I think it's Lamar, man. I think this is, again, when we're talking strictly talent, like, this is someone that, say whatever you want about anything. When he's on the field, he's making plays, and he is a nightmare for offensive or defensive coaches. But look, he's going to win his second MVP since stepping in the league in 2018, and he's only got one playoff win. So he's got more MVP trophies than playoff wins. So is he going to struggle again? Are the Ravens going to be this one seed and lose early in the playoffs and fail to reach the AFC Championship? I don't know. And the fact that I don't think it happens, but there's so much pressure riding on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens this year, more than I think people are giving credit to. I think people are sort of just thinking about, oh, the Ravens are like, a lot of people think the Ravens are shoe-ins to make the Super Bowl. Like, that's a lot of pressure. And I think people are overlooking the amount of pressure that they're dealing with. So I think, I don't want to, like, I'm not trying to make this a bad, I'm not saying it's in any bad way that Lamar, like, being the most to lose is anything bad. I just think he's got a lot to prove. And playoff success, like you mentioned, is where everybody counts, your accolades, anything. All stats are thrown out of the window. If you can't win in January and February, none of it matters, right? So Lamar's got to prove that this year. I think he will prove it this year, but he's definitely got the most on his plate.
I got Tua, and I got him for all the same reasons. Had a great regular season at times, but every time when it mattered, he has not been able to elevate his team, elevate his own play, step up in the moment. Week one, he marched down the field with a minute and 30 seconds left against the Chargers, threw a perfect pass to Tyreek Hill, game-winning touchdown. They won that game by 2 points. He has not done that since. So you're going on the road. I know they're underdogs, but because they shouldn't be in this position to begin with, because he let it get to the point where now they're playing on the road and they're playing against a tough Kansas City team, he now, I think, has a lot to lose, because if you go out there and, again, on a national stage, it's Saturday night. I know the game's on Peacock and half the country's going to be freaking out why they can't watch it. But I think if he has another bad game, there are going to be some serious, serious conversations about if our quarterback can't step up in these big situations, where do we go from here? How do we build a winner in Miami? Because, I mean, it's just been... everyone talks about the Lions. The Lions, with how long it's been since they've won a playoff game, that really shelters Miami, because Miami hasn't won since 2001. So it's been a long time there, too. All right, we got four left here. A sleeper coach that is on the hot seat. So a coach that is a sleeper to be fired if their team doesn't perform well in the playoffs.
I think everyone would probably say McCarthy here. I don't want to speak for you if that's who you were going to say, but... I'm going to say somebody that I don't think he's a sleeper to be fired, but I think his legacy is, it's a sleeper to have his legacy just a little bit tarnished. And that's Kyle Shanahan. This is someone that is, in my opinion, one of the best coaches in the league. But if he fails to lead his team to an ultimate goal and even getting to the Super Bowl, I think there's going to be some doubts here about his overall, like, ceiling, right? And or if he's just a better play caller, can he lead a group of men? Because everyone knows that he's a great play caller, but leading a group of men and being a head coach of a football team is a huge, huge task. And the 49ers on paper are fantastic, like probably the best team in the league. Now, is this going to be another year where they fall short of their goals? Like, this is somebody that hasn't reached the Super Bowl yet, and since, I mean, he was offensive coordinator in 2016.
Yeah, with the Falcons. He reached in 2019 or 2020.
In 2020, yeah. He got to the Super Bowl but lost to Jimmy Garoppolo. Again, it's like about time, you know what I mean? It's like, okay. And I know a lot of Niners fans feel this way. I think a lot of San Francisco 49ers are expecting him to finally just break through, and this could be the year to do it. But if he doesn't, if they fall short again, I think there's going to be some serious, serious talk. Not necessarily saying to get rid of him, but it's like, okay, what is the ceiling of a team that's led by Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, it's not a bad pick. You talked about Mike McCarthy. I thought that was like...
Yeah, it was too obvious.
So I'll throw two names out there. One is Sean McDermott, just because it feels like he almost got axed midway through the season. If they go and they lose to the Steelers, it's like, come on, you won all these games and you earned your home field advantage and now you're... not even putting it to use. I think there's going to be some questions I could ask there. The other one is Nick Sirianni. I think it's a little bit of a rash decision to just cut ties with him, because there's definitely some sort of formula there that works, but there's also been a lot of questions and a lot of regression this year after he lost both coordinators. And I think that is where I would be a little bit concerned. And I don't know what is quite going on with the Eagles locker room, and it just seems like... that team is not in a good space right now. And yeah, sometimes a change is needed, but I do think that would be incredibly harsh and a very heat of the moment decision if they were to do that. And I wouldn't agree with it personally, but that's just a sleeper. Biggest dark horse.
I can't believe they are a dark horse, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
The reason they're a dark horse is because, like, to be frank, like, they've sucked this year. They've been terrible.
But like, you talk up to people and people will mention the Browns over the Chiefs. Like, you talk about, like,
also
a team that...
It's also just because, like, the Chiefs are kind of like, oh, the Chiefs are so good.
But it makes them a sleeper. Like, are we forgetting that, yeah, like, the best quarterback in the league plays in Kansas City?
He hasn't been the best this year, but no,
I still trust him over anybody in the playoffs. Like, absolutely. If I'm ranking the quarterbacks, which we are going to do later on this week, you're still putting Mahomes first, yeah, right? And the fact that they are not considered... up there with the Ravens and the Bills, even, like, the Bills have better chance from an odds maker standpoint. Yeah. Then it's like, okay, but Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, done it before. They've been to the Super Bowl, like, they've been to the AFC Championship every single year that Patrick Mahomes has been there. So, I mean, look, I can't believe I'm saying that they're a sleeper, but the Chiefs are my sleeper pick.
I got the Texans, young team, nothing to lose. You got a home game. After that, who knows who they'll play, but I wouldn't want to play this team right now. They feel like they're getting healthier too. I mean, Stroud's back, and they just look really, really good and a well put together unit. The biggest storyline for these playoffs is
Joe Flacco.
Okay.
I think it's the biggest storyline in sports, to be honest. I think there's not a single, I don't think there's a single storyline in sports at the moment better than Joe Flacco and the Browns. And if they're able to continue this and go on this little stretch, like, I might just go nuts. And I have no allegiance to the Browns at all. I just think it'd be awesome. I think it's the biggest storyline. It's something that I'm going to be watching so closely. If Joe Flacco is able to do this off the couch, it would be the greatest thing ever.
My biggest storyline, we didn't talk about these teams at all this week because they don't play this week, and that's the two number one seeds. Last year, we had 1v1 in the Super Bowl. I don't think it happens all that often, nope. But I feel like this year, the number one seeds are clear-cut the number one seeds for good reason. They are far and away in their conferences the most well-rounded, balanced, most consistent rosters where each week you know what they're going to get. They show up, they do their business, and they just go on to whoever they play next week, and they're dominant. So they're heavy favorites. Are they going to live up to the expectations? Because I feel like if either of these teams don't get to the Super Bowl, the season is a colossal, colossal failure. So that is what I'm looking out for most. And then we'll end off with your biggest guarantee.
See, this is why I didn't want to give my prediction before, because my biggest guarantee, and I'm sorry, Lions fans, and I hope I'm wrong, but my biggest guarantee is that Matthew Stafford and the Rams are going to absolutely crush the hopes of the Detroit Lions and beat them on Wild Card Weekend. And I hate to say it, it kills me to say, because I feel the Lions' pain. I feel it. Like, if there's a team that knows it, it's me. I feel your pain. And I think it's just going to be another year of pain for the Lions fans. And the Rams are going to come and just absolutely destroy their hearts. Like, just rip them out. And it's going to be so poetic because it's Matthew Stafford. I'm sorry, but that's my biggest guarantee.
I think long term, when you look at this era of Lions football, I think this is a little bit of the necessary evil that needs to happen. Because maybe you go through this year and it's the worst thing ever. You watch your old guy, Matthew Stafford, that could never win in Detroit, by the way, come into your barn and just crush you. But I think, this is, the team's young, right? Like,
yeah,
this is
100%.
You go through that, you lose. Every guy goes through it. No one just walks in rookie year, wins Super Bowl. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You go through that. Next year, you come back. You're rejuvenated. You got this winning formula. You got this head coach that everyone loves. The win will come, Detroit. Maybe not this year. I'm not going to go fully out on board with you and say that that's my guarantee, because my biggest guarantee, Dolphins go into Arrowhead this week and they win.
Wow.
They do it.
Wow. So this is...
All the narratives.
Wow.
Squashed.
Wow.
You said the Chiefs haven't... You know, every year they go to the AFC Championship. They always host the game. Mahomes is, you know, he makes it to the Super Bowl just like everyone brushes their teeth every day. Like, that's just how classic it is for him. They haven't looked good this year.
Wow.
And I know at times, even since we've been doing this show, there's been times where they haven't looked good. And come January, they've gotten it together.
Yeah.
There's a first time for everything. This team has very, very real holes. They're going to lose.
You know what? Look, if anything, if we're talking biggest guarantees, we probably pick two of like the not so biggest guarantees, but I love how confident we are in it. And that is what matters. I hope that we're both correct. I would love to see the Dolphins win for Pac. I think it would be awesome. I think it'd be awesome for the NFL, to be honest. I think parity is good for football. And I mean, Patrick Mahomes next year can do his thing, but this year, I want to see a first round upset.
I want to see someone else.
Yeah, I want to see a first round upset. I want to see a team that is just comes out of the shadows and just goes on a run. And whether that's Miami, whether that's Cleveland, whether that's Houston, whether that's Green Bay, whether that's a team that I can list everybody in the playoffs and make a case why they'd be good, except for KC, because we just, for the sake of the segment.
And the Ravens, Bills, and 49ers.
Yeah, Ravens, yeah,
those,
sure.
Those top four
100%. Favorites. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you don't want to see, I mean, obviously, the teams, the fans of those teams would love to see their teams win. But for football and for just pure chaos, I want to see some stuff happen. And if there's anything that I've taken away from the show that's gone on for about an hour here, so if you're still watching, we appreciate you. We're sorry that it's gone a little long because, you know, we haven't been here for 3 weeks, so we're getting a little excited here. But if there's one thing that I'm taking away from the show is that we're in for a good weekend of football.